Welcome to another episode of Sophia's Choice, a Golden Girls podcast. I am Alan, and he's going to retire from this podcast and open a bed and breakfast in Woad Island. Brent.
And you have the same joke for ski, except you say it dismissively, and you say in Woke Island.
Well, I wasn't going to say that. It would have been a fine joke. And he hasn't had sex in 15 years and is starting to get on his nerves. Ski. Now, it was great because as I was picking a few, lines on this one, I had 8 episodes to choose from. So I was able to pick.
It hadn't been 15 years yet. Right.
15 years on Tuesday.
I said yet.
This would have been a good one for Ski. He ranges his ice cream sundaes in an obscene way. Mm-hmm. That would probably be very true, honestly. And he may get a little crazy with the chopped nuts. Mm-hmm. Then there was also, he has the same hairstylist as Whoopi Goldberg. Probably would have given that one to you, Brent. let's see. Last week I left him a stool sample. I'm not sure who I would have given that to. He's not anxious, but he makes other people anxious. That would have been Ski.
Yeah, yeah. So, I thrive. Yep.
And let's see. I was thinking we replaced him with a hand puppet. That could have been for you, Brent. You were getting that way anyway, as I was trying to do that opening.
Is that how you view me, as the lamb chop deer Sherry Lewis?
Exactly. Oh, I've got my hand in your ass, just making you say what I want you to say. But yeah, I think I should try to do it that way, because that would make it seem like all of your funny quips were because of me.
Exactly. Exactly. He's the puppet master.
Let's see. He's been using a toothbrush for months, or using my toothbrush for months. That would have been for Ski. Just a Shriner looking for a good time, which I think I might have actually used when we did that episode, That was another option that I came across. Yeah. So, but anyways, today we were going to be doing our first playoff episode. These are going to be the team seeded, or the teams. This is going to be the episodes seeded 13 through 20th, going head-to-head, 13 versus 20, and so on. Ski is going to be giving us a little recap on each of these episodes, just a couple sentences on each one.
That is accurate.
Okay. So that way, just to jog your memory about what these episodes are about, should we do it matchup by matchup that you'll do this
recap? That is how I have arranged it.
Okay, perfect. So let's start off then. Do either of you two have anything to add before we jump into our first playoff episode? Okay, and I think Ski has a little feature for us later on today, too.
I've got some stuff, yeah.
Okay, I'll be looking forward to it.
So, I knew that I didn't have, you guys kind of talk about how my recaps are usually too extensive, or not too extensive, I guess, but, longer than they maybe need to be.
A little heavy on the detail.
Well, this time I went shorter. But because that seemed too easy for me, and I'm a masochist. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right? Is it masochist?
Yeah, you enjoy pain.
I decided to make it harder on myself again and put it all in poem form.
Oh, very. Now, masochist, is a masochist someone who, it's a sadomasochist that likes to hurt themselves, isn't it? Or
yeah. Sadists torture other people, masochists torture themselves.
Oh, okay. What's a sadomasochist?
Both.
Oh, okay. But then I would say in this case, Ski would qualify as both because he's torturing not only himself, but also the listener.
Here, here.
He's like, this week's recap, it doesn't have the length, but it has twice the girth.
Going in dry.
Well, to kick us off, our first playoff matchup we're going to be discussing is going to be Season 8, Episode 23, Sex, Lies, and Tortillas. Versus Season 1, Episode 20, Adult Education. Oh, that was a good one. Yeah. You're not allowed to go that far. We don't want to your vote. We don't want to find out your vote right from the
now,
beginning.
Now, are we going to give our picks after each matchup?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah.
I think that's probably the better way to do it, right?
Yeah, I agree. Yep. All right, Ski. So, you gave us a little recap for each of those two episodes?
I am ready.
All right.
Playoffs Round 1, Wild Card. As you already said, this is the 13 seed. Season 8, Episode 23, or, Golden Palace, Sex, Lies, and Tortillas. The time is spring break in Miami. Charlene comes to visit her Grammy. Roland obsesses over kids making messes, and a storm rolls in like a whammy. Chewie begs Blanche for permission, a world record burrito his mission. Charlene wants sex advice. Rose says she ought to think twice. So for now, she leaves poor old Rick wishing.
Nice. Very nice.
Is that a limerick format?
Yeah, yes. Like, now, I think limericks generally have like a beat or like a syllable like requirement. I did not adhere to that. But
still like 2-2-1.
Yeah, the rhyme scheme I went through.
I thought that was an excellent little mini recap.
Did it make sense?
Yeah, it absolutely did.
Yeah. And it was twice as long as I anticipated. Mm-hmm. Like I thought it was like A-A-B-B-A. It was like, you were done. It's like, oh, there's an
encore. Yeah.
Nice. All right.
So. Not complaining.
All right, and that was up against 20, Season 1, Episode 20, Adult Education, which we have alluded to many, many times. Mm-hmm. Dorothy's dying. Oh, go ahead. You don't think we've talked about much?
Is this the first time you feel like you've heard about it in the last 7 seasons?
I think we mentioned it last week, maybe, but...
It seems like at least once or twice.
Oops. I would say it's one of our few actual recurring bits.
All right, Dorothy's dying for tickets to see Frank, but Sinatra tickets may just break the bank.
I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this recap, and they're never going to ask me to do another one. The joke was on me.
Yeah. Recap me once. Shame on you. Recap me twice. Exactly. Shame on me. But
I'm going to start over because you threw it off.
Okay.
No offense. It's just Dorothy's dying for tickets to see Frank, but Sinatra tickets may just break the bank. Sophia gets a new perm. Blanche failed her psych midterm. Professor Cooper asked for a wank. All of a sudden, they've got tickets galore. The girls tell Blanche she must study more. Dorothy scalps extra seats for some cash. Blanche aces her final without batting a lash. Then she shows that professor the door.
Very nice, E. Well done. I really like that little, your little mini recaps.
Now, I did vary it up. So this matchup obviously is limericks,
mm-hmm.
but then I did a different poetry type formats, like rhyme schemes for each one.
I hope the last one is too, like, Iliad, Homer, epic type poetry.
Yeah, it is 12 pages long. Exactly. 12 chapters, sorry. 12 yeah. chapters.
That excites me because I was afraid it was going to be a deaf poetry jam.
Now, at the end of each of these, so you want to do the our votes now?
Well, I thought we would discuss it a little bit and then we would reveal our votes.
Go for it. And I also have, at each one of these, I add a little bit of a padding. I came with a discussion topic
for
each matchup.
Very nice. Should we do the discussion topic before or after the vote?
After, definitely, because it's sometimes loosely related.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I thought that, I'll just say, Adult Education was a solid episode. I did enjoy it, although I will say that it's like, on the one hand, like, I know Brent has stuck by his assertion the entire time that Professor Cooper was not in the wrong because Blanche said one mildly flirtatious thing to him first before he, started to proposition her for a better grade in his class. I still think he's wrong on that. But my bigger issue with the episode is that the rest of the Goldens are so, are not good friends to Blanche during it. Like, she needed help, and they were so concerned about other things that Blanche just wasn't able to get the, the support that she needed. So I thought that it made Blanche look good, but it made the rest of the Goldens look bad. Mm-hmm. And of course, Professor Cooper was bad. And honestly, Brent, I remember being a big fan of the Dean initially, and rewatching it, and I'm like, man, the Dean sucks. He's just like, I can't do anything to help you. I mean, he has a couple funny lines.
It's totally his job to deal with this.
He's like, oh, it's your word versus his, so sorry. That was an issue. Now, and then with the sex, lies, and tortillas, I thought it was a solid episode. I do think, it deserves to be in the playoffs as far as a representative for Golden Palace. And that giant tortilla, or that giant burrito they have at the end of it, I think is, one of the best sight gags they have in the entire, eight seasons. Of course, there's a, I don't know, Roland hating the Spring Breakers is really something that makes a lot of sense. I think we talked about that during the episode of, like, you need these kids. But yeah, those are my opinions on those two. Both solid additions, I feel like, overall to this playoffs.
Yeah. Which one you picked?
Okay, so you want my vote? So I ended up going with Season 8, Episode 23. That got my vote. Sex, Lies, and Tortillas between the two of them.
Yeah. See, mine as well. You know, I cast my vote for Sex, Lies, and Tortillas, you know, partly because, you know, there was 50% more plot. You know, Season 1, Episode 20 only had sexual harassment and Frank Sinatra, while Season 8, Episode 23 featured sex, lies, and tortillas.
That's true.
That's solid logic.
Your math is unavailable. Just by content alone, right?
Yeah. Exactly. That's just basically it.
Yeah.
So, I also chose the 13 seed, Season 8, Episode 23, as my pick. I thought, you know, Season 1, Episode 20 was a decent episode as far as the writing and stuff. But I know we kind of grew numb to it because it was a bit, but I think Professor Cooper was worse than I remembered as far as, like pretty much blatantly using the quid pro quo, like, kind of wedge over Blanche. So, yeah, I thought he was more scummy than I had remembered. Even though
maybe you're just more evolved than you were back then.
Maybe.
In all honesty, you know, it's funny because on the one hand, you listen to those early episodes, and we definitely were, I don't know, tried harder to be PC. And as the series has run on, like, we have not tried as hard to censor ourselves and our, you know, sometimes inappropriate jokes that, you know, would probably get us canceled if we were in a more popular podcast. But that said, like, I feel like that as people, we actually have all become, you know, more, I wouldn't really say woke, although some people may consider us as such. But I think we have become more evolved, sensitive to various issues in the world than we were before. Mm-hmm. So evolved, yes.
Surviving a pandemic will do that to you.
Yeah. All right, so so it looks like that Season 8, Episode 23, Sex, Lies, and Tortillas is moving on to the Sweet 16. And Adult Education. We've loved making fun of you for all these seasons, but...
Fun, farewell, and a tip of the hat.
Exactly. Your time has come to an end, Professor Cooper.
You still get the wild card entry for the Final Four.
I don't think the Final Four gets a wild card. I don't think that's the way. This is a single elimination.
I'm misinformed that I need to recalibrate my votes.
Well, even if you give it your vote, you still lose 2-1. So it'll be interesting to see if all these go this way, where we all, theoretically, you know, the higher seeds, especially the bigger the discrepancy is between them, should be ones that we pick, but I don't know if it'll always end up that way. Yeah. Now that we've kind of had the entire series to look at and think about. But all right, see.
In all honesty, like, so I rewatched these 8 episodes, and like, I remembered the episodes, but I had no idea like what score I originally gave them.
Yeah, I couldn't remember that either.
Yeah, or who I even gave my MVP to, or whatever.
So. Yeah, same here. I didn't try to rethink about those things specifically.
I did want to ask. So yeah. I know you've been keeping track of all these. Mm-hmm. After the series is over, are you going to put like a Excel sheet online or something about like all the scores of who got MVP and how many cheesecake slices for each episode?
I don't think anyone would care to see it, in all honesty. It would just be so much just boring raw data, and I don't have the desire to make it into something that'd be more user-friendly and fun to read. So, yeah, I can't imagine myself taking the time.
I'll make spreadsheets, or make graphs.
Yes.
People love graphs, Alan.
That's true. But that said, I doubt that I will do that once this is all done.
Oh, man. All right, lost opportunity is all.
He's just itching the raw dog net data.
Yeah. All right.
You want my discussion topic?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what's your discussion topic?
All right, these two episodes contain several examples of wetness. Tropical storm.
I believe you, Alan.
Giant burrito. Snorkeling. Dorothy's desire to see Sinatra. And Professor Cooper drooling over his power dynamic with Blanche. We usually associate being, quote, wet as covered in a liquid like water, something that could really soak into fabric, right?
Mm-hmm.
If an object is submerged into a vat of mercury, which is liquid at room temperature, is it considered wet?
Okay.
Also, what if an object is placed into a super cooled fluid like liquid nitrogen, which freezes nearly anything at a temperature of negative 320 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 100 or negative 196 Celsius for our international listeners?
Okay. So the question is do we consider something wet if it has mercury on it?
Yeah, if it's submerged in like something like mercury or other liquid metal, or something that's super cool, which would basically freeze it.
I would have to say, do I consider it wet? No, I would not consider either one to be wet.
Brent agrees.
Yes.
All right, well, that was not very much of a discussion, but still fun regardless.
Sure, yeah.
I had fun.
Pretty fast and loose with the word fun there.
Yeah.
Hey, I said I considered it fun.
That was a very technical like, hey, I know how we can lighten this episode up. Let's have a discussion about liquid mercury.
I didn't say lighten it up. I said pad.
Oh, okay, that's fair. It did pad it out. It gave us a good minute of content.
Conversation topic two. A circus train is heading to Miami at 37 miles an hour.
Circus train, you say?
A northbound bus is leaving the station for St. Olaf. Going 35
miles an hour. Is it a direct drive to St. Olaf?
Exactly. At which point will they cross each other in Tampa?
And how much does the circus need to charge in admission fees in order to cover its setup costs, including the cost of this train ride? All right, Ski. So we got our next matchup here. Season 2, Episode 24, To Catch a Neighbor. That one featuring George Clooney. And then Season 2, Episode 26, Empty Nests. Is it nest or nests?
I think it is plural. Nests.
It is plural. Okay.
But the spinoff was officially called nest singular.
Right. Yeah. Because when I looked at it, I didn't know if I had made the typo or if it was just a difference in the two. But yeah. All right. So Ski, you got a little something to remind us of these two episodes.
I knew this one was haiku.
Okay.
Which has to be syllabically correct. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I pronounced it wrong.
You definitely did the second time.
The syllables is what makes it a haiku. So,
and what's
or
the
haiku, right?
And what's the cadence?
Oh, it's 5-7-5 syllables. Okay. So, episode 2, or season 2, episode 24, which is the 14th seed, To Catch a Neighbor. McDowell's stay late. Investigators arrive. New neighbors are thieves. Al and Bobby stay. Al and Dorothy argue. Dorothy wants Al. Dorothy plants bug. Thieves are caught, but shoot Bobby. Dorothy dumps Al.
Very nice. So we got three haikus, too, in order to... Because, yeah, it would have been pretty tough to do an entire entire episode with just one single haiku.
How many syllables are in syllables are in McDowell?
McDowell's? Three? No, McDowell's. Yeah.
Do you consider McDowell's to be a three-syllable word?
That's a tough one. I mean, I would... McDowell's. I mean, yeah, because I don't think you know McDowell's, so I think it's three. It is three, but it's an odd one for sure. So you were just trying to shit on his haikus. So you were sitting over there. I bet you weren't even paying attention to the words he said. You were only counting his syllables.
Because I was still stuck on the first line. I missed every subsequent line.
Would you like me to repeat?
I'm good.
I think it was a fine set of limericks for that one. Or haikus, I should say.
So bottom line, like... McDowell's are the neighbors, right?
Correct, yes.
And they end up, they're like jewel thieves, right?
Right, yeah.
And then so George Clooney and his boss arrive and say, hey, we got a post up in your house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so then they, you know, bust over to the other house, mm-hmm. you know, boom, boom, boom. And then George gets shot. And then, you know, but Dorothy says, hey, Al, you're sexy and I like you, but I don't think I can date a cop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The thing I did like about that episode, well, you know what? I'll get to that after you've done your next set of haikus.
And 19th seed, season 2, episode 26, Empty Nests. Golden's friend, Renee. Lonely, because George works too much. afraid to tell him. Daughter home from school. Scumbag boyfriend found new girl. Parents give advice. Oliver butts in. George goes to New York for wife. Honeymoon at last.
Very nice. So, yeah, this was the episode that, you know, basically was supposed to be a de facto pilot, yeah, for that. But they made quite a few changes, with the only thing staying the same being Joe Isuzu still being in the actual Empty Nest when it came out, correct?
Yes, but he was a different character.
Right, yeah.
Because they, but then they did repurpose the name Oliver for Golden Palace.
Yeah, so thank goodness. Nice. Like, this name's too good to just leave on the table. So we got to have an Oliver somewhere,
right?
If sitcom history has taught us anything, it's that Oliver is gold.
Yeah. All right.
A lesson learned well.
Well, so To Catch a Neighbor, I thought was a solid episode for sure. I think that one I was well deserving of being in the playoffs. George Clooney, of course, is a pretty big name prior to him being a big name. As far as guest actors go, he has to be one of the biggest of the big ones in an overall sense, you know, at least what he ended up being.
Uh-huh.
So I thought it was a good episode. I thought the premise was good. I did really like the fact that it wraps it up in one, you know, so many of these things, one of the girls ends up with a, you know, new boyfriend or love interest, and then we just never see that person again. And this one, you know, we went through the whole arc of their relationship in one episode. So I like that a lot, too. And then as far as Empty Nest, I mean, I've made my feelings clear about that episode. There's so little Golden Girls in the episode.
Yeah, it's just like a little taste at the front.
And I'll have to say, like, the character, there's a character with multiple personalities, which, again, you know, we're looking at it in today's light versus, you know, the time that it was on. But, boy, it's a very bad portrayal of someone with mental illness. That's not good. And then also the fact that, now, Brent, I'm going to probably break your heart when I say this, but there is no goddamn way that someone who looks like Paul Dooley is getting someone who looks like Rita Moreno. And it's funny because he says something to her in the episode where it's like, oh, you'll still be beautiful when you're whatever. And it's like, she actually was. Like, Rita Moreno was attractive all the way up until the... Is she still around? Yeah. I think she's still around, yeah. Like, even when she's been on these shows, it's like, wow. Yeah. She's like 80-odd or 90 years old, something like that. And, but anyway, so yeah, between those two, that was an easy one. That was the easiest one for me personally. I'm sorry to your wild card, but I did go to Catch a Neighbor for my pick on that one.
So, I mean, although seeing George Clooney referred to as the poor man's Bill Engvall was fun. Empty Nest was wall-to-wall funny, you know? I like that both episodes featured warnings against opening the door without checking and a joke about miterating in a linen closet.
That is true, isn't it? Yeah. That has been one of the most consistent jokes on the series.
Well, and they're both, Sophia, they're only episode separated by two episodes.
Yeah, that's true.
Season 2, episode 24, and then 26.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize that. Yeah. Did you have more you wanted to add there, Brent?
No, just Empty Nest gets my vote.
Okay.
I loved every moment of it.
Okay, fair enough.
So I actually liked Empty Nest more than I remembered, but I ended up going with To Catch a Neighbor as well.
Mm.
So Empty Nest is gone.
Was there a deciding factor for you between those two?
I think I liked the fact, like, kind of what you alluded to, the fact that To Catch a Neighbor had, like, a more cohesive, like, story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if maybe I just had a sour taste in my mouth that they're using a full episode of Golden Girls to launch a new episode, a new series, basically.
Right, yeah.
If you want to be bitter about the whole thing, be bitter about the fact that they dangled Dooley in front of us.
And then pulled away?
Exactly.
I feel like saying dangled Dooley is something that Ski would say. Unintentionally.
Dangle my Dooley out for everybody to see.
Did you name it Tom?
Why do you think he would name his Dooley Tom?
Tom Dooley.
Tom Dooley?
Yeah.
Is that...
hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry.
I do not know that.
Now that you're singing it sounds familiar.
It's public domain, so keep it in.
Oh, okay. Do you think that, I think that whatever.
Is it really old then, I take it?
Yeah, it's an old folk song.
Okay, I don't know that one.
If we do another podcast, I would like you to sing that as our opening. So, all right.
If we do another one, I think it should just be called, like, Duel and Dooley's. And then we just, like, take two titles from Paul Dooley's filmography and just compare and contrast them.
Hmm. I thought that we'd take something from Tom Dooley versus Paul Dooley.
Tom Dooley only has the one thing, the song.
Yeah.
So, like, is this Paul Dooley vehicle better or worse than this folk song?
We probably discussed this when we talked about Empty Nest before, you know, the episode, not the series. I would have to say that there's never been an actor that looked more like droopy dog than what Paul Dooley does. Like, he definitely could have done a live action version of that with only a mild amount of makeup. Just the long ears. That's all he would really need.
All right, so you guys might like this discussion topic slightly more.
Okay.
Though I have no idea if it'll actually last us any longer than the last one.
Okay.
All right, if George Clooney as Detective Bobby Hopkins and Paul Dooley as Dr. George Corliss were in a Golden Girls episode together as a medical/forensic crime-fighting duo.
Okay.
Do you think it would have become a successful spinoff series?
Absolutely. It's like Diagnosis Murder.
Oh, Dad. You're jumping the gun. If yes, do you think it would have edged out the 1993 Dick Van Dyke series, Diagnosis Murder? Dick Van Dyke famously starred as Ken Whittingham in season 5, episode 5. What would George Paul's show have been titled?
Okay, well, let me ask you this first. For Diagnosis Murder, was there a cop doctor combo? Because I don't think I ever watched those. So yeah. Who played the cop?
Dick Van Dyke's son.
His real life son,
yeah,
right?
His real life son.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But he was the son in the show too,
yeah,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
Boy, Dick Van Dyke is a great actor. I have no idea about the son, in all honesty. Mm-hmm. I assume that
he was sufficient.
I'm assuming that he
far
was
lower amount of.
But I mean, George Clooney and Paul Dooley are a really big 1-2 punch. So I feel like they could have edged out.
Yeah. Well, Dick Van Dyke would probably come sooner too, because Diagnosis Murder came out in '93, as probably the same year as Golden Palace, right?
Okay, yeah. So this would have already been like the jump on it.
2 years, 3 years before that.
So yeah, I think so. I think it would have been successful, and I think that they would have been, even better than what we actually did get with Diagnosis Murder. I'm saying that
title?
As a person who's never seen an episode of Diagnosis Murder. But okay, so let's see. So what are their names again?
George Clooney is Detective Bobby Hopkins.
Okay.
And Paul was Dr. George Corliss.
Okay. So
Bobby and George.
I don't know if that helps. I can't think of a good name that combines Bobby and George. Yeah. What do you think, Brent, as far as like just something that's about like Dr. Murder? Now that sounds like an evil show. let's see, to heal and protect.
Yeah, I'm just drawing a blank as to what it would be.
Let's see, what it could be. Uniforms and scrubs, stethoscopes and Stetsons. I don't know what kind of guns a cop uses, but
Hopkins and Corliss.
The boys in scrubs are typically blue. It could be the boys in blue.
Yeah. So.
All right, well, I think that I've come up with a lot of names and had very little help from either of you.
I gave almost no help other than the idea itself.
Yeah, I don't know.
We can call it.
I think I must have come up with Sophia's Choice. Now, after this poor showing from both of you, I think Sophia's Choice must have been my.
But I didn't realize I was supposed to contribute content until season 1, episode 20.
Well, you've been a veritable cornucopia since. All right, Ski, that was a song. I definitely enjoyed that better than your liquid comparisons.
A little more germane to the topic at hand.
All right, the next.
Not just random Bill Nye shit.
Yeah. That's gonna be Ski's epitaph. Random Bill Nye shit.
Exactly. Having on good authority, his former boss mentioned it in his exit interview.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Next matchup was between seed 15-18.
Mm-hmm.
15 is season 5, episode 15. Which, if you look at that, there's a lot of fives there.
Yeah.
15 seed, episode 5, or season 5, episode 15. And Triple Play is the name. So there's, mm-hmm. you know, 3 fives. So, anyway, this one is kind of a, I don't know, free verse, if you will. But it's still got a rhyme scheme.
Well, do you want to tell who it's against and then...
Oh, see, episode 8, or seed 18, season 3, episode 25, Mother's Day.
Okay, that was my...
Sorry about that.
No, you're all right. You're fine. All right, so first off, we got a little recap here, so to speak. A poetic recap of Triple Play.
Yes, sir. Blanche concocts a scheme with a rented Mercedes. She posted for sale, but hangs up on the ladies. The plan is to find a rich eligible man, or to find rich eligible men, using the car to lure them into her den. The government made a benefits error, making Sophia a multi-check bearer. Dorothy tells Ma she must send it back. She ultimately agrees to empty her sack. She got a sack of money. It
yeah,
makes sense.
Okay, yeah.
Rose meets Miles' daughter, Caroline. They all sit together to talk and to dine. Caroline asks Rose to not date her dad. This, of course, makes poor Rose quite sad. Miles tells Caroline he cares deeply for Rose. This seems to bring her concerns to a close. Blanche asks Dorothy to dispatch the car shoppers. Dorothy lands a date, and Blanche calls the coppers.
Very nice. Yeah, I enjoyed your poem there. That was very good. All right, and then for Mother's Day.
This one's a little bit longer because okay. we had all the vignettes, right?
Right,
so
yeah.
Kind of recap each of those.
Yeah, what, 20 stanzas for the first one?
No, 16. 4 and 4. All right, season 3, episode 25, Mother's Day. The Goldens are dressed up for brunch on Mother's Day, but wait for kids to call before getting on their way. They each reminisce a story from the past. Sophia's already hungry, so they've got to make it fast. First we travel with Dorothy and Stan. They visit Stan's mother with an ulterior plan. Stan lost their money, and they need to borrow cash. Despite her sour facade, she donates from her stash. Next up, Blanche recalls her mother's final Mother's Day. Blanche, not Virginia, visits the center where she did stay. She tries to jog her memory with a tale of foolish youth. Surprisingly, Mama remembers it all and corrects her with the truth. Then Rose tells a story about heading to Minnesota, taking a bus back to St. Olaf. It's a good thing she wore a cota. She quickly befriends sweet elderly Anna, who's traveling to visit her late daughter's plot. She left her nursing home without permission, but Rose helps Anna avoid getting caught. Sophia shares a memory, Brooklyn, 1957, the scene. She yells at Sal to get dressed as Dorothy wheels in her grandmother, who's mean. We bear witness to generational daughter abuse. Sal asks Grandma to move in, and together they offer a truce. By the end of the show, each Golden has gotten a ring on the phone. But at this point, Sophia's done waiting and starts cooking a meal of her own.
Very nice. That did a good job of recapping. I feel like, is that maybe the only episode, at least it's the only episode I remember where they did 4 vignettes in it. Like, they've had these clip show type episodes before where, you know, it's all original content.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's usually just 3.
Usually 3, I think,
Yeah, usually one Golden gets shorted.
Yeah.
As far as their story.
Yeah. So, yeah, again, I thought 2 solid episodes overall. Now, Mother's Day, you know, with Mother's Day, I mean, like I said, I think all 4 of the vignettes were actually really solid. I mean, I think that is... To me, as far as that type of episode, I would only put it on par with The Way We Met, which I believe is one of our other episodes that eventually, you know, that is.
Yeah, it was season one, episode, like it's episode 25.
Yeah, something one. Like that. So I thought they did really well with that. I loved Dorothy as the grandmother, and I loved Lenny Green as as young Dorothy. I thought she was great. I would like to have seen an entire series of young Dorothy with Lenny Green. And, you know,
Not too late.
But yeah, I think like a prequel series of young Dorothy would have been a solid show to watch. You know, because I mean, you could add young Sophia because obviously she was younger in real life.
So you just want to see golden babies?
Yeah, basically. Make our dreams come true. Exactly. But I love that. I thought Blanche's was a sweet story, and I thought Rose's was a...
Starring Toshiro as Liam.
Yeah. I liked Rose's story in that a lot, too. I thought that the woman, how incredulous she was, the things that, like, just the looks on her face. She was such a good actress, and the looks that she was giving Rose as she's telling these St. Olaf stories. And
she was, like, talking about how her kids figured out that, you know, bringing her to St. Olaf was cheaper. And she's like, and they figured that out on their own?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's one of the greatest lines, I think.
I agree. And just her delivery of it was so good. And then with Triple Play, I don't know, can you jog my memory about Triple Play one more time?
Go ahead.
Blanche uses a used car to,
that's right, yeah,
to seduce men because, as history has taught us, she needs all the help she can get. Meanwhile, Rose meets an undercover FBI agent posing as Miles' daughter.
Yeah, I guess that is kind of funny when you think about it in retrospect. Yeah, with that one, I don't remember, like, watching it a second time. I mean, even just watching it very recently, it didn't stick in my mind. Obviously, it's one of the lowest seeds that made it, you know, through that initial process. But yeah, I don't know. I thought it's a good episode, but not great. You know, I thought Blanche's storyline was a little half-baked. It was kind of funny that she had this one idea of the way things would turn out with inviting these men, and then they
did not. Yeah, did not quite work out that way.
Do you think she underpriced the car? Like, was that the problem? She underpriced it too much to where it ended up having, yes, I mean, guys had the money for it, but also bargain hunters. You're not really looking for bargain hunters in that circumstance.
Yeah, she was one wealthy men.
Yeah, exactly. Not guys looking to get a nice car on the cheap.
I applaud her for finally finding a way to meet men through the penny saver.
Yeah.
Because generally they frown upon those kind of ads.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I enjoyed both episodes, but Triple Play, I mean, I really liked Mother's Day a lot, and so that one was a fairly easy win for me in this matchup.
Really?
Yeah.
So I had down that it was a tough, tough call. Both episodes were funny, but considering what we now know about Miles and about Blanche visiting relatives and facilities, they hit differently now. So, I'll go with Triple Play, but it was close.
Oh, wow. All right. So we got Ski doing the tiebreaker here. So Triple Play versus Mother's Day for you, Ski.
So I thought they were both pretty funny, too. But I definitely chose Mother's Day because I liked the fact that everyone had their own little story. And that was, I don't know, I just liked that episode better overall. Okay.
Boy, Brent, though, so we both agreed on, or we all agreed on the first matchup, and then Brent's been on the wrong side of history in the last two matchups.
It's a little too soon to say after this
matchup. Fair enough. I will be really interested. I hope that people will chime in a little bit, because I'm going to put these matchups out there. I mean, everybody should be seeing them already, but I hope that people, I'm going to try to do it in advance of the episode, and I'll be interested to see people kind of chime in with their own opinions on how it goes. At the very least, it'll be out there when the episode comes out so people can, you know, tell us if they think we're right or wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, how it comes out. So, all right, so we got one more matchup for today's episode. Discussion topic. Ski's newest feature.
All right, and we probably have talked about this a little bit before, so if it's redundant, I apologize. In this episode, specifically talking about Mother's Day, we are given information that gets us pretty close to Blanche's actual age.
Mm-hmm.
If she was indeed a high school senior in 1949, per Blanche's mom, mm-hmm. given she does have memory issues,
yeah.
She was likely born in right around 1931,
okay.
plus or minus a couple years.
Okay.
Assuming she was 18 as a senior, she was then 57 in 1988, the year the episode aired.
Sensory.
and she would then be 62 at the end of Golden Palace, or thereabouts. And this is also in step with a claim by Blanche's brother Tad in season 8, episode 21. Do we agree?
Yeah, she's in her early 60s. Yeah.
Do we care?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I agree. I don't know if I care as much, you know, as far as like what her actual age is. I mean, granted, I know that, you know, there's always the running gag, and you know, even in Golden Palace, I think she claims to be 42 at one point, which would
something
be
like that, yeah.
20 years.
The guy she was dating was like, no, yeah, I know that's not real.
But, I mean, it almost makes that so much crazier, too, now, when you think that she was 62 and the guy was like, yeah, I mean, over in other places, they've been able to, you know, impregnate women your age. It makes it even that much more of a stretch. But, yeah, I would agree with the math, but for me personally, I don't know that I care about Blanche's actual age.
Yeah, I don't either. But it does add, like you said, a bit of extra perspective. We talk about her potentially taking on another family.
Right, yeah, for sure. So, all right, Ski. So we got our final matchup of the day, Season 5, Episode 19, 72 Hours, versus Season 7, Episode 2, The Case of the Libertine Bell.
All right, you guys ready?
Yep.
All right, 72 hours. Dorothy's organizing a charity event in hopes to save Florida wetland. Rose receives mail with enormous implication. Rose had a surgery that necessitated blood donation. Dorothy's frustration grows as people drop out, even including the band. Poor Rose is hysterical when she finds out she may have HIV. The girls support her and say, go take the test. Rose ponders life and can't sleep because she's stressed. After testing, her nerves only worsen as results don't come in one day, but three. Dorothy's struggle seems to lessen. Celebrity donations lift up her hopes. Rose's results are negative, saying she doesn't have AIDS. After a rough 72 hours, her worry and anger at life fades. They all head to the charity event, but Sophia failed to stuff the envelopes. So that's it.
Very nice. I would say that described it quite well in your poetic way.
I don't know if I like the rhyme scheme I picked for this one, though.
Okay.
It was like rhyming first and middle, or last, and then the two middle ones rhyme. Maybe if the syllables were a little more on point or consistent, it might rhyme better, but I don't know. It still tells a story.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was solid.
All right. See, in the 17th seed, season 7, episode 2. Case of the Libertine Bell. Sophia dreams of Jay Leno while Blanche and Mel steam up his car.
Mel Bushwick.
Yep. Blanche plans a murder mystery weekend, vying for a job, business, and pleasure she'll blend. Blanche asks the Goldens to join, and Dorothy fantasizes about noir.
Ginger card noir?
Like mystery stuff.
Yeah.
The girls are dressed up for dinner at Queen of the Keys Hotel. They scope out the guests for clues. The game is afoot. People offer their views. However, in this mystery, Dorothy is the true Libertine Belle. Before Blanche can bed her prospective boss, he's stabbed in the heart. She's told to stay put, as she's the prime suspect. Now the fun weekend and her future have been wrecked. Dorothy does it again and sleuths out the fake killer. Her wit was the true work of art.
Very nice, yeah.
Laszlo would disagree.
Oh, all right. I'll say 72 hours was, you know, there was definitely some funny parts in that episode, but it was a heavier episode. You know, of course, you know, with Rose waiting to find out if she has a disease that, you know, today's standards, it's different because there are better treatments for it. But back then, I mean, it was basically a death sentence if you got it. And it was also a thing that there was a lot of, you know, stigma around that wasn't true. I thought they handled a lot of that really well. Yeah. I mean, there was one part, I mean, honestly, it kind of choked me up a little bit when Blanche was like, so, you know, you're saying that, like, this is not a bad person's disease, yeah. You know, things like that. And, you know, that got to me a little bit. That said, it was kind of a heavy episode for sure because of that. Whereas with the Libertine Bell, like that one was a pretty light episode overall. A great set as far as, I think one of the best sets they've had as far as, you know, being there at the hotel and all that.
the detective they had there. It is like recurring St. Olaf.
Yeah, exactly.
Southside of 10.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that he did really well. I think then the quote-unquote real detective they brought in was also pretty funny. I think he says the St. Olaf thing, too, like continues that joke. And I don't know, I just, I really liked that episode a lot, just overall, the way that, you know, it, I liked how much it kind of showed Dorothy in a really positive light, you know, and her intelligence getting to be
on. They don't do that a whole lot for her.
Well, and she got to have her intelligence on display in a way that didn't make her seem like an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, you thought she did seem like an asshole because of the... You know how
pretentious, maybe
pretentious, sure,
because she doesn't fucking work there. She's a ringer. Like, if you're at a company outing and some random you don't know,
yeah,
the spotlight and solves the crime, it's like, what kind of team building horse shit is this?
You know what?
Yeah, there was no real working together.
I never thought about that aspect, that's fair. But I still thought it was a really solid episode, and for me, 72 hours, far more poignant, good episode. I recommend it, but Libertine Belle is the one that gets my vote.
Brent, what say you, sir?
I went with 72 hours. You know, and I thought they're, you know, they're both equally funny or whatever, but I just felt that, you know, they didn't stick the landing on the seriousness, and a lot of times they did.
Okay.
You know, so.
All right, how about you, Skeel? It looks like once again.
Man. So I got to say, 72 hours is probably one of my favorite serious episodes that they've done. What you were saying, I really like the fact that they try to take some of the stigma out of it, especially back in the years that it was made, because it really was, you know, not looked down upon, but like
feared. There's a lot of misconceptions. Yeah, for sure.
But I chose Libertine Belle because that was far away one of my favorite episodes of the whole series. I couldn't turn my back on the wild card I picked. So,
wow, so poor Brent, man. Three times in a row he got outvoted, but that's why this is science.
That's okay, because you're going to post this, and then the Brent army is going to light up.
That's right. That's probably true. They're going to tell us how we're wrong, Alan.
Well, I already know. I've got at least one listener on my side, because Lisa had said at one point that Libertine Belle was her favorite episode, and she'd have been waiting for us to get to that one. So I know that...
But you should have led with that, because I don't want to vote against her.
Well, you know, I don't want to bias you. I was not biased, because I genuinely liked it better, but it worked out well, you know, to me, because that was one thing, honestly, that was the one I was debating on between that and Mother's Day for my wild card pick, so I was pleasantly surprised when Ski chose it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so all right, so we have Sex, Lies, and Tortillas, To Catch a Neighbor, Mother's Day, and The Case of Libertine Belle all moving on. But Ski, do you have a discussion topic for us to finish this out?
Actually, it kind of comes in line with something we talked about earlier.
Okay.
It may have been in the last episode, though. After the equivalent of 8 full seasons, the Golden Girls each had their character arc, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sophia was always a bit forgetful, as a likely byproduct of her age and maybe her stroke.
Mm-hmm.
However, her hard exterior did soften over years as she grew in love with the girls and became their kind of de facto mother figure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, actual mother for Dorothy. Dorothy was a lonely divorcee who enjoyed her teaching and reading on Saturday nights. During the show run, she became more outspoken and found multiple loves and ultimately remarried, like her mother did twice before her, right?
Yeah.
Rose was always a sweet, naive girl, farm girl, but she too grew in wisdom and cleverness over the duration of the two series.
Mm-hmm.
However, it seems to me that the show could have almost been titled Blanche's Golden Girls. While the others seem to grow slowly over the course of each season, through hardship, life, lessons, fights, etc., loves, etc., Blanche seems to keep reliving many of her worst behaviors. Even after she routinely learns to be more accepting, trusting, forgiving, or kind, she forgets when the next episode plot requires it. Then, just like always, she'll learn it again, just in time for the happy ending. And I said, am I being overly harsh in this depiction of her character, or do you agree with me and why?
Oh, no, you're definitely right. Like, Blanche, you know, even all the way through Golden Palace, like, yes, she does seem to have grown as a person in general, But it's like she still has to learn every lesson the hard way. Mm-hmm. There's never anything where she's like, yeah, I can look at my past and look at the things that I've learned throughout this, my time with the other Goldens and, you know, and come to a conclusion on my own right away that I should be looking at this differently. It's always that, oh, no, I need Roland to tell me that supporting an organization with racist roots is a bad idea. I have to wait until, and not only do I have to see that, I have to wait until one of the, you know, members of this group makes a racist comment before, you know, I can even be persuaded. Yeah. So,
I think you can make the argument that she actually regresses. I mean, because back in, you know, season one, she thought that sexual harassment was bad. But then you get to season eight, and she's like, ah, it's all good.
Right. Yeah. Well, fair argument, actually.
In fairness, I think by season eight, she's just learning, like, hey, wait a second, dudes can be harassed too? Mm-hmm. So she's just learning a different side of the equation.
Well, it's also, it's a different side of the equation because she's management then.
Right.
You know, there's nothing wrong with the power imbalance when you're on top.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't dudes like that?
I don't know. Like, do you feel bad about the power imbalance when you're on top, when you're still the one with less power? But yeah, I would agree that I think Blanche...
I've got a respectable amount of power for a man my age.
I think that's respectable, is which everyone should strive for.
Exactly.
You don't want a shameful amount of power.
Exactly. When my wife's sitting in the sewing circle, my ears aren't burning.
Your wife is a pretty conservative person overall, as far as, like, I don't think she's, I can't imagine her being the type who would talk about your libido or your sexual prowess at all. It would be shocking, honestly. I feel like you would have to be really, really bad or really, really good for her to bring it up. Like, she'd have to be overcome.
To be compelled.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I know we don't talk about this much, but you gotta know. My hubby, yeah.
Exactly.
And I think she'd be, even at that, I think she'd be more, it'd be more likely that she'd talk about it if she was really impressed with your skills than the other way around.
Yeah, I don't think she'd badmouth you to anybody. She loves you.
And I don't know, she seems like a practical woman, too. She'd be like, you know what, he doesn't really got up between the sheets, but he's, he can hold down a job. And he's a good dad.
Exactly. He ain't missed a paycheck as long as I've known him.
All right.
I could
he
do
may
worse.
Have missed the G spot, but those paychecks keep rolling in. Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. Any of that for any of that talk coming out of Helena would be so shocking to me.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like,
it's like, we don't have to talk about the G spot because them paychecks ain't a myth.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the idea that Brent starts, you know, like using the term old Nessie, and that's like the female orgasm. It's like, yeah, some people have claimed that they've seen it, but I've seen no proof.
Tis a myth.
Yeah.
An old wives' tale.
So, yeah. So, anyway, to sum it back up, yes, I think we would both agree that Blanche has certainly not progressed much and probably, in some cases, gone the other direction. So, did you have one more thing before we close this out?
We could also save it for next time if you want.
You know what? We're doing pretty good on time this time. I think we filled this episode out admirably. So, if it's not specifically related to this, then I'm good.
It isn't, actually. I'll tell you what it is, and then we can just decide.
Sure. Okay.
Golden Girls Mad Libs.
That sounds fun, but I think we're good to hold on to that one until next week. So there's a little teaser. So next week we're going to be going over four more matchups, whittling 16 down to 12, If you keep an eye on the Facebook page, I'll definitely put an updated bracket out there so you can follow along and know specifically which ones we're going to be doing in the following week. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty fun. Like, that worked out well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've got
to do it 5 more times.
Exactly. And then we will have a grand champion to crown. So, all right. Well, do you have anything else to add before we close this one out, Brent?
This one brownie left. Nobody wants it.
Well, I think I might grab it unless you want it.
Yeah.
I think Brent and I each had one while you were giving your, your poems. So it would make sense that you got to take the last one with you.
They're quite good. Thank you.
Did you have anything else you want?
They're quite good.
So quite good.
I was like, that is high praise indeed coming from
Steve. Man.
This is equivalent of a 5-star rating.
It's not just good. It's white good. That's one of my favorite things. I don't think that you probably even misheard him at all. I think you just came up with that. And that's one of my favorite insults you've given to Ski.
Broke it in there, huh? Yeah.
I think you should get that tattoo, Ski.
Forehead?
Yeah, or exactly. That. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, all right, well. I guess we can definitely drop that Golden Palace closing, so that's nice. I don't have to try to ever remember that again. Until...
It'll be on your headstone, though, right?
Right, yeah, for sure. Well, I plan to be cremated, so they'll just have to carve it into my urn.
Sounds good.
But anyways, did you have something you wanted to add there, Brent, before I close this out?
It's like, well... I know they can write your name on a grain of sand. Maybe they can write your epitaph on a grain of ash.
Yeah. All right. Well, until next week, stay golden, Coco.
Hey, thanks so much for downloading today. If you enjoyed that opening, you should definitely check out Ashley Jade on YouTube. She has a bunch of awesome compositions on there. If you want to get in touch, you can email us at sophiaschoicepodcast@gmail.com. You can also reach us on Twitter at sophiaschoicepc. We plan to have a new episode out every Monday. If you have a moment, give us a rating on iTunes or wherever else fine podcasts are downloaded. And of course, stay golden.